Welcome to it on a Monday. Monday Madness here in Michigan. In the middle of Forgotten America, I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. This is the Steve Gruber Show. And here are three big things you need to know. Number three, the Lions in total free fall without Matt Stafford at the helm. And in Ann Arbor, the Paul Bunyan Trophy staying put for the second year in a row after the Wolverines destroy the Spartans in the Big House 44-10. Number two, Governor Whitmer heading to Israel for a week to develop business for the state. She'll be stopping in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, part of that trip. All part of helping Michigan compete for high-tech jobs, she says. And number one, Rashida Tlaib, apparently begging her campaign to pay her lots of money while she was running for office. Now her fellow Democrats opening ethics investigations into those payments, many of which may be in direct violation of federal law. Oh, yeah, it's not a small thing, by the way. Not a small thing. It's, you know, there are big rules. Big rules when it comes to how you run your campaign financially. And the House Ethics Committee at the end of last week reportedly released a cache of documents related to their campaign finance probe of Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib that revealed the depth of the lawmaker's financial woes leading up to her 2018 Election Day win. Of course, she won big, and she's been an outspoken critic of Donald Trump ever since. We're going to impeach that mother effer, remember? We're going to impeach that mother effer. The committee said the investigation, which opened in August, into whether or not Tlaib misused campaign funds for personal use will be expanded at the request of the Office of Congressional Ethics. This began with a Fox News report, by the way. Tlaib, in April 2018, emailed her campaign to explain how she was struggling financially right now. That's a quote, struggling financially right now. Then she wrote this, "So I was thinking the campaign could loan me money. But Ryan said that the committee could actually pay me. I was thinking a one-time payment of $5,000. That was one of the emails released and obtained by Fox. In another April email, Tlaib wrote, "I am just not going to make it through the campaign without a stipend. The cost of a stipend, at least $2,000 every couple of weeks, not to exceed $12,000 to, quote, cover needed expenses due to campaigning that includes car maintenance, child care, and other necessities. Please let me know if I can proceed." Four months later, in an early morning text to her eventual chief of staff, Ryan Anderson, Tlaib asked, "Do you think the campaign can still pay me a stipend until the general, trying to get out of debt? I think we definitely can afford to do so," said Anderson, "but we need to really clearly define your time and space." So the ethics committee, you can't do that. The federal law that may have been violated, converting campaign funds from Rashida Tlaib for Congress to personal use, or Tlaib's campaign committee expended funds that were not attributable to bona fide campaign or political purposes, that's a problem. So that's going to be a problem for her. It's going to be a big problem for her going forward. Let's see here. In other news here from the center of it all, Gretchen Whitmer on her way to a business trip to Israel, announcing that yesterday. In a statement that she released, the governor said she was proud to continue the decades-long tradition of Michigan governors traveling to Israel to deepen our relationship. She'll be making stops in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, among others, as she travels. Her statement also said they're going to meet with business and nonprofit leaders, government leaders, going to build business ties. What they're looking for are high-tech jobs, apparently. Looking for high-tech jobs. Rick Snyder did it as well. Let's see here. According to the Detroit News, the stops list on Whitmer's itinerary is a meeting with U.S. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman, GM's Advanced Technical Center, Ford Motor Company's New Regional Research Center, and the William Davidson Archaeological Park, named in honor of the late former owner of the Detroit Pistons. A 2009 Jerusalem Post obituary of Davidson described him as an extraordinarily generous man who gave to many causes in the United States and Israel. So the governor can be headed to Israel here shortly. And hopefully she comes back with some business. I mean, I'm all for it. I support that move. If she can help build business opportunities for people here in Michigan by traveling to Israel, I'm all for it. I support it 100%. Good job, Governor. Greatly appreciate you doing that. Look forward to hearing what comes out of it. By the way, over the weekend, I took time to watch some football. The first quarter of the Michigan-Michigan State game was competitive, and then after that, not so much. For all the people, I was on that list, by the way. For all the people that thought Jim Harbaugh was in deep trouble as coach this season, that may have passed, at least for now. Beating Notre Dame and Michigan State, two of the big rivalries, he posts wins on that. Ohio State, though, they appear to be in a league of their own. Ohio State, I don't know if there's a weakness on that football team. It'll be a rivalry game, yes. It'll be Ann Arbor, yes. Can Michigan win? I don't know. I don't know. And for Michigan State, they're going to have to struggle to get two wins just to become bowl eligible. Michigan State needs to have two wins just to become bowl eligible at 6-6. I don't know that they're going to make it. Don't know that they're going to be able to turn that corner. Mark D'Antonio, some people saying it's his last go-round here in East Lansing. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the wheels sure have fallen off this year. That 25-point failure, that 25-point lead with Illinois, they failed to hang on to. Probably the biggest disappointment for the Spartans. And then there's the Lions, of course. Man, what, jeez. You know, and I know we don't talk sports a lot here, but come on. My entire life, I've never seen the Lions go to the Super Bowl. Not my entire life have they gone to the Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be nice just once in a lifetime to see the local football team make it? 35-27 they lose. 35-27. And it just looks like, well, the fans are turning against the team again. You'd expect the team to struggle without Matthew Stafford. They've gone 0-2. But no excuse for the demise. Jeff Driscoll playing pretty well in Chicago, even more effective against the Cowboys. Defense letting you down. Not your quarterback, your defense. And here's a story, if you haven't heard it from me, this is a crazy story. Uri Rafali bought a three-bedroom, 1,500-square-foot home in Southfield for $60,000 in 2011. He converted the fixer-upper into a rental property 2.5 years later, and at the time, unbeknownst to the retired engineer, Oakland County seized his property, put it up for auction, sold it for $24,500. What a deal to whoever bought it. All this after a calculation mistake on his property taxes that he was delinquent by $8.41. Oakland County kept all the money, by the way, while Rafili, now 83, was left without the home and the income he made from renting it. Rafili's stunning case, which is the heart of a legal battle currently being considered before Michigan's Supreme Court, is an extreme example, yet it is hardly unique. More than 100,000 homeowners in the state have fallen victim to an aggressive property tax law that legislators in Lansing passed two decades ago. And that needs to come to an end. You lost your house over $8. Come on now. Not going to fly, is it? No, it's not. We'll keep an eye on this story. 14 after on a Monday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Sit right there.
Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to Grads of Life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
I'm asking teens like me, what are your plans for the future?
Definitely going to college, absolutely.
We're going to the state championship.
I'm getting a great job, you know, something I love.
I want to travel, see the world.
No one said teen pregnancy. Say yes to your plans. Say yes to a brighter future. Learn more at michigan.gov/abstinence. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.